Welcome to the Chicks Talkin' Footy Joy Podcast, sponsored by The Pancake Parlour, supporting AFL women since day one. Lovely.
You're listening to Joy 94.9. Up next, we got Chicks Talkin' Footy. And do you guys remember a couple of weeks ago, one of the chicks whom talks footy posted in the Joy Announcers Facebook group saying that they were looking for a new panelist.
And yes, I saw that.
Talisha. Well, Chicks Talking Footy.
Darling.
Listen up. We've found your next member.
This is a very exciting announcement.
We've got an announcement for you because Talisha screenshotted this ad saying that you're looking for a new panelist, sent it to our Not My Cup of Tea group chat and said, I'm out of here.
I'm leaving Not My Cup of Tea and I'm coming to join you on the panel to speak of the footballs.
Do you know that there's one major flaw in that plot? You don't know shit about football.
No.
What's your favourite sport, Talisha?
Football, obviously, because that's what I like to talk. Me, a chick, talking footy. Ha, that's me on the panel. What's up?
Specifically, what are you going to add? Footy, though, Talisha? Go on.
Yeah, which one do they play in Melbourne?
The footy. You know the footy?
All right, Chicks Talking Footy, it's over to you. The studio is all yours. But first thing I want to hear when the mics turn on is Talisha welcome? Can she join your show?
I want to know. Can I talk footy with you?
Not My Cup of Tea. We'll be back same time next week. See ya.
Bye. I need to sneeze.
Talking footy on Joy 94.9, sponsored by The Pancake Parlour, supporting AFL women's since day one. Lovely.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a very special show of Chicks Talking Footy. You're with Fee and Motti. You may have heard of us before on the show,
yes,
but we
indeed
have a very special co-host tonight, Kate O'Halloran from The Guardian.
Woohoo!
Thank you for having me.
If you haven't been reading her articles on the AFLW, well, you're missing out.
You fools, that's what you are.
We told her that we'd bump the other girls so that she could be on the show tonight, but the truth is that no one else could make it. But
Jesus, you're scraping the barrel is what you're trying to say. And look, Talisha wants to be on the show, and here I am.
Now, we did. Yeah, the girls from Not My Cup of Tea have volunteered themselves to be on our show, even though they know nothing about football.
I've got a really good idea about how we could test whether they can come on or not. We'll put them through their paces. They'll have to do...
Design an algorithm?
No, well, yes, but I think a beep test.
Oh, yeah.
They have to do handball comp and they have to kick 10 goals from the same spot 40 metres out directly in front.
I'm so glad that wasn't implemented before I came on.
I'm glad it was implemented before I came on. So welcome to the Chicks Talking Footy show tonight. We've got a big show. We're going to discuss all the AFLW games. Still at this stage, five teams can win.
Wow.
An exciting round coming up. We will discuss the JLT games, even though none of us have been watching them.
I certainly haven't, I have to admit.
We'll be asking you, our listeners, maybe you can inform us about what's happening. We'll talk about the grand final venue. Kate, you wrote about this in The Guardian today.
I did indeed.
Very controversial. Where will it be played? It looks like it'll be played in Melbourne. Well, it has to be played in Melbourne.
Yes, unless the algorithm says that Melbourne and Bulldogs are going to draw.
I know, the Twitter maths are hilarious this week. It's like I can figure out what everything is going on. We also, Monty and I, caught up with Emma Carney earlier today.
Yes, we did, from the gun midfielder from the Western Bulldogs. Had a bit of a chat, so we'll play that for you, coming up shortly.
Yeah, she was just heading into training and getting prepared for the big game. We're also going to be talking to Cheryl Critchley from the AFL Fans Association. So
chock-a-block this show.
Yeah, chock-a-block. And, of course, we'll look ahead to the AFLW round. Remember, you can contact us on 0427 Joy 949. We're expecting a message from Betty, our number one ticket holder.
Well, I did. Look, I think we have to be honest here. I took Betty to task earlier today because we've week in, week out said our number one, and I And we've applauded her for that, the number one ticket holder, and she's let us down a little.
Yeah, it's been inconsistent.
There's been a couple of weeks where she didn't tweet.
Yeah, oh. She hasn't had a consistent season.
It's not even tweet, is it? It's SMS. So she has an SMS.
Yeah. Because I'm not looking at Twitter right now. But onair@joy.org.au is the email address that you can contact us on as well. Maybe you can predict where the grand final will be played in 2 weeks' time.
And who will be in it? Because that could go anywhere.
Well, yeah, which of the five teams? Let us know what you think. Now, what happened last week? AFLW wrap-up.
It didn't go as planned, I think is what we can safely say across the weekend.
Well, yeah.
Thank you, Moddy, for that insight.
I'm just giving you a heading.
Yeah. Well, do the beep test now.
Yes.
This is true. It didn't go as it was planned, but there were some great games on Friday night. I know Beckdale raced home from work to watch the Pies narrowly beat the Dockers. It was nice, actually. The chicks were all watching across the sphere.
I know, when we're on our little messaging.
We do. We get on Facebook Messenger and we talk about games sometimes, don't we? But I have to say, the Dockers put up a good fight. Dana Hooker had a great game.
She was incredible.
And so was Cara Dunnellan in that last quarter, when they were really trying to get it across the line. Those two were amazing.
But Dana Hooker, I noticed the AFL Players Association have a Player of the Week each week and she wasn't even nominated. I thought, that's a bit harsh. She kicked a few goals, had 20-something disposals. She was... No. I mean,
they're all Phillips-centric. I bet you she was nominated.
No, she actually wasn't, to be fair.
Yeah, she was busy in the first quarter, but tap it off a little. But Mo Hope has kicked three goals as well as Bernardi.
They both kicked two in that first quarter, which was the important time to get them going against Brisbane, because no one would have picked that.
No. Well, I thought Brisbane would win for sure. I was quite disappointed with them, to be honest. I thought, they had it stitched up, really.
Well,
I mean,
it should have.
Look, it was a shock round. I mean, you'd think the Doggies would have won and you really thought Brisbane were going to get over last place Collingwood, but they've shown a lot of fight since Kate Sheehan came out and critiqued the coach. I think it's been since then that Collingwood have really turned things around.
It was pretty interesting, wasn't it? And she had to... Well, I think it was probably advised by someone to her that she should make some form of apology.
Well, yeah, I think she did actually make an official apology.
Yes, she did, but someone clearly advised her that was the appropriate direction for her to take. But
well, it's like, some people when they're criticised, they go back into a shell, and some people go, right, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Yes.
And that's what Colin would have done. And I think Mo Hope's done that too, hasn't she? She had that week, she got put on the bench. No, she's kicked quite a few.
Well,
look, still disappointed.
I just don't find her particularly convincing.
You don't think her profile matches her abilities?
I think she's got all sorts of ability. I think her ability is not in question.
Hmm.
It's just that she's not playing the way they need her to play, or she's being tagged out of it. What do you think, Kate?
Yeah, look, I thought her pressure was probably the issue, her chasing, her tackling. I think that's really lifted. Mm. I think the goals are a bit of a red herring in the sense that, they haven't necessarily been earned, by those pressure acts. She's been on the receiving end of some relatively easy ones. But I do think across the board her pressure game's really picked up, which is probably what was in question, I think, not her talent.
I did see her in round one against Carlton chase.
Yes.
Well, and she really went about three or four steps and stopped.
Yeah,
stopped.
Which I found fascinating because she's had such a massive pre-season, looks incredibly fit, and yet still looked slow for some reason. But anyway. Now,
could I just, I'm just putting my hand up here, can I go back to Adelaide, the Adelaide game?
Back and forth with you, Moddy.
Because my new favourite player, Eb.
Oh.
Her face has copped it, hasn't it?
She's a warrior.
Well, I'm just reading from the stat book. 16 tackles and she's had 11 stitches over 2 weeks.
It's almost as tackle, really.
Yeah, right. 1.4 stitches per tackle.
Six stitches last week in her tongue and now five this week in her cheek and 16 tackles. She is a machine.
But her tackling, she broke the record a couple of weeks ago.
21.
For both AFL and AFLW, and the game's not even anywhere near as long. She's a beast.
Yeah, no wonder she's cutting herself up.
Exactly.
And she's not particularly tall or overly strong. There are bigger and stronger players. And she's just
I think it's just her competitiveness.
And old Aaron Phillips you know, what, three goals on one leg. She's just horrible.
Yeah, I saw Girls Play Footy wrote, you know, one-legged crow all side over line, and it really was like that. It was like, what can this woman do? Like,
what could she not do?
Well, what could she not do? What could she do if fit?
Actually, Danae wrote a match report for that game in the Footy Almanac. Danae, our, you know, fellow Chicks Talking Footy broadcaster, and when she her comment was at quarter time, Erin Phillips 20 and Frio, you know, 5. Kind of.
That's unreal.
Whatever the score actually was.
Do you know what I was thinking, though? Incredible that Courtney Gumm got overlooked
Wasn't she
Adelaide
great?
Because she could have imagined a team with Gumm and Phillips in the goal square.
Amazing. Yeah, she's been very exciting to watch. Ooh, other games. Okay, GWS and the Bulldogs.
Gee, that went wrong, didn't it?
It did go.
Went wrong for me.
It went wrong for the Bulldogs. We had it stitched up, maybe. Wow. Not now.
It's okay.
I did a lot of swearing during that game.
Not in The Guardian.
You were live tweeting for The Guardian, weren't you?
Yeah.
She was just like, Kate, you really need to calm down. Yes. Like, but you don't understand.
Yeah.
I thought we had the grand final stitched up. But no, Courtney Gumm, speaking of, was incredible.
She ruined your dreams.
She certainly did.
But that is also not a good score. I mean, like, that's a bad scoreline as well.
Well, the forward line looked dysfunctional. I mean, I felt like who'd they have up there? Sparky, the volleyballer. I always think of her as a volleyballer because she's really tall. But I just thought, yeah, this is not a typical Doggies forward line, and it just wasn't clicking in the way it has been with Lachlan.
Now, speaking of the Doggies, our favourite Doggie has texted in.
And, hello, Betty.
She says, mission accomplished, listening with a glass of beer in one hand and Western Bulldogs pride flag in the other hand.
What a legend.
Excited about, she's got a job to do. I hope she's not drinking too many beers. Excited about this weekend's game. Hashtag be more Bulldogs.
Well done, Betty. Well You've done, redeemed Betty. Yourself.
And, of course, I was actually at the game on Sunday, Carlton versus Melbourne. And
I'm groaning
the
again.
Mood has changed already.
Yeah, well, it was funny. I mean, it was a reasonable attendance, but I thought to schedule one of the biggest games of the season on Labor Day weekend,
yeah,
seemed a bit silly to me. I reckon they would have got double the crowd had they not.
Wasn't it late in the day?
It was 4:35.
Yeah.
No. I actually took a friend that had never been to the football before.
Oh, good on you.
So I did my bit to double the crowd.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
If everyone did that.
Sports fans.
We'd double the crowd.
That's right.
There's an algorithm. And, unfortunately watched Mel Hickey stumble off the crowd and it was just everyone was gasping and,
God.
Oh, it's just awful.
It wasn't pretty.
I had to live blog that game and, you know, we had the footage of her just tears streaming down her face and it was just devastating.
Do you think they know straight away?
Oh, yeah.
When they've done their ACL?
And I think because it was such an innocuous incident, it's not like there was any contact. She just, you know, fell over, grabbed the back of the knee and her face. It was just all written all over her face.
Izzy Huntington was the same in terms of an innocuous incident. I saw her little cute little thing the AFL put out today of her and her cousin, Will Centerfield,
who did
their ACLs 10 days apart.
Sharing their crutches.
Yeah, cute little 3-minute thing of them sitting on the couch playing, you know, talking about it. It was really a nice thing to see.
A ripped ACL will bring us all together, won't it? It's probably the worst injury you can get, isn't it?
Well, as a veteran as well.
Now, AFL Grand Final, we now know that it's going to be, according to the Twitter algorithms, it's going to be in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
So where should it be played? Where could it be played?
Well, I suppose it has to be both. But how do we know? Is that because Nick Livingstone has hinted that it's Icon Park? Is that how we know it's in Melbourne? Kate?
Well, no, I did write a column about this today, so it is circulating in my brain. So Melbourne Bulldogs, the winner of that game will go a game and a half ahead of the next team.
And even if it's a draw, they've still got enough, one of them.
Well, the Doggies' percentage is high enough that they should still finish first. So it's relatively guaranteed. But, yes, Livingstone has said that her preference is for it to be atmospheric and she would like it to be at Icon on that basis.
Because they think they can fill it.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, they can fill it all right.
Yeah.
Of course they can. But they think that they can't fill Etihad, I think, is the implication. And they've stated that they don't want a double header with the men's games. And, of course, there's a men's game on at both Etihad and the MCG, which is Bulldogs and Melbourne's home grounds, on Saturday. So while we continue to have the men's competition on the same weekend as the AFLW Grand Final, that makes it impossible.
I'm already seeing events scheduled at the same time, just so socially.
Why don't they want a doubleheader? Do you know?
I think that the perception last year was that it was played as a curtain raiser to the Gold Coast Brisbane game, and that was insensitive because it's a grand final. But there's no reason you can't hold it after the men's game, is what I was saying.
The men's game as a curtain raiser.
Exactly.
They won't do it after because the football because the network will. You know, the network, Fox and Seven, will have their broadcasting rights will say that
they can't have it.
Yeah, that because it you look at the way they. If you look at the times, there's 3:35 at Etihad.
So it'd have to be about 8 or something.
And
like
then
that.
There's 4:35 game. Then there's a 7 and 2:725 games.
Why haven't they thought of this earlier? Is my question. I mean, we hadn't.
They're fools.
But does anyone seriously?
We've got friends at the AFL. We might call them that.
Does anyone seriously believe though that we wouldn't get more than 24,000, especially if it was ticketed? Because I think people don't like coming to Icon Park knowing that they might not get a seat, particularly from an interstate.
I agree totally.
Yes. Well, it could possibly be an interstate team in the grand final with the Melbourne team, couldn't it? However, in a moment, you're going to hear all about our catch-up with Emma Carney from the Bulldogs, who Morty and I caught up with earlier today.
It's Morty here on Chicks Talking Footy. I've got Fee with me, and we are lucky enough to talk to Emma Carney, gun Western Bulldogs midfielder, the reigning BNF winner with Ellie Blackburn at the club, and a member of the 2017 AFLW All-Australian team. Welcome, Emma.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No, not at all. We're thrilled. It's taken us weeks, but you were on our target list to have on the show, so we're thrilled to have you.
It's good to be on the show.
Good one. Now, your pathway to where you are now seems pretty standard for a female football player in that you played with the boys until you were told you couldn't anymore, went and played other sports and then found footy again. So it must feel fabulous, and I know it started a few years ago for you, but it must feel fabulous just pulling on that Bulldogs jumper every week.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, growing up as a young girl, you'd only see men playing the game, and for me, I thought my dreams were totally crushed. I've got two brothers, and I thought, geez, how unfair is that they get the opportunity to play AFL, but I don't. But, I never thought it would be possible, but I'm super lucky to be able to represent the Bulldogs, and I cherish every moment I get to pull on the jumper.
Yeah, absolutely. And we read recently, that you've been in the Team of the Week every round this year. How does that feel to be recognised for your efforts by your peers and the competition as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you play team sports, not for the individual accolades, but it is nice to be recognised, definitely. And I think it's probably a testament to our coaching staff, but also the depth that we have at the Bulldogs that sort of allows me just to play my game. And, I've just been fortunate enough to be recognised like that.
Well, I heard a commentator, Emma, say on the weekend, in the weekend's game, which we'll get to in a minute, but just rolled off his tongue, Emma Carney in perpetual motion. And that is, I thought, God, that's a great phrase, because that's exactly what it's like, I find, watching you. You are on the go all the time. Has the coach just said to you, do that, or you just take your own licence?
Our coach has always been really good in backing everyone's ability in our team, and for me that's probably my engine and my work rate, and he's always encouraged me to try to outwork my opponent, and that's sort of what I base my game around, I guess. And I'm lucky that the Bulldogs have sort of just given me a license to do that.
Yeah, and look, the last round of the AFLW's led to an exciting place. Well, certainly for us spectators. Obviously, you didn't get the win you were after on the weekend against GWS, but is there some different strategies going into the game against Melbourne, seeing as it's really a decider?
Yeah, it is. It's certainly going to make for an exciting last round, that's for sure. It's almost like three preliminary finals.
Yeah.
All in the one round, which is going to be interesting. So, we've looked at the review from the last game. We were pretty disappointed with our performance against GWS. Credit to them, they were outstanding, and they just outworked us, unfortunately. So we've reviewed it, and we just need to go back to some of the basics that we were working on the first few rounds, and that was what got us into the really good position that we were in.
When you talk about a game like that, and you said in the review and everything, is it just business as usual, or does Paul just maybe touch on the fact that there are some sort of tweaks, or advise you maybe how to mentally handle something like that before you come into a last week?
It's pretty much business as usual. We can't focus too much on the external factors that are going on. We've just got to be able to control what we can control, and that's how we play the game. And unfortunately, the last couple of rounds, we've just gone off what our game plan is, and hopefully against Melbourne we can get that back on track and hopefully come away with the win.
Now, one of the big questions on everyone's lips this week, will Katie be back?
We've got training tonight, actually, so it'll be interesting to see how she pulls up from that. But from all accounts, Katie seems to be ready and willing to go. She had a run around on Monaco before our game against GWS, and she seems to be moving pretty well then. So she's a massive competitor of Katie, so I'm sure she'll be back on the track, hopefully on Saturday night.
I'm not sure if you've got to read Sam Lane's book yet, but she did one of the chapters was on Katie, and there was a part about when Katie first had to get her ankle injected with whatever the juice is, you know, pre-game, the anaesthetic stuff. It was quite illuminating to read that. Have you had to have that before?
No, I've never had to have any injection before a game. Thank God, and sort of touch wood, I'll never have to, but I think that's sort of a part of the game. It's such a physical game, and it's only a short season, so girls are constantly getting jabs in either their fingers or shoulders and things like that to get through games, because, you know, the medical staff are doing whatever possible they can to get the girls back on the park.
Indeed, for sure. Now, just a slight gear change over to the Happy Times of the Pride match a few weeks ago. So Chicks Talking Footy were there. We were lucky enough to be calling the game, and we watched from the third tee or whatever, and it was just awesome as a viewer. Can you tell us what it was like to be on the ground during that game?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just about a football game. It was about, obviously, the Pride game. It was a special occasion for the LGBTI community, and we're really thankful that the Bulldogs really drove the game, and fortunate that Carlton jumped on board as well to support the game. And for us playing it, it meant a lot to us. We always think that women's sport, and in particular football, is always quite an inclusive environment, but it's being able to celebrate the diversity that's in our game and in our country is something that was really special to us, and really close to a lot of our girls' hearts. So for us, obviously, as a Bulldogs player, it was great to be able to come away with the win, and a big win against Carlton. But it was more an occasion that we were really excited about.
Yeah, look, we thought you were going to run out of fireworks that night because so many goals were being kicked.
I think we had one left.
So did the runner go out to Brooke and say, could you just stop? Because we
can find
no more fireworks.
I said, steer them around.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it was a great night, and we're very thankful to the Bulldogs for taking the initiative to do that. Hopefully it'll happen again next year. And the girls get full points for pronouncing all of the names correctly over the night. So Emma, you're not only an AFLW player, you also play cricket, and last summer it was for the Melbourne Stars in the Big Bash League. Speaking of fireworks, are you going to be doing that again this season?
I actually had a conversation with my Melbourne Stars coach today, and I suppose it sort of just depends on how the season for next year shapes up to be. Obviously, having two year teams into the competition might mean that we actually start a couple of weeks earlier, which actually cuts into the Big Bash season. So, look, those conversations will continue on throughout the winter, and look, I'm hopeful that I can still be able to do both. I guess the AFL aren't really in a position where they, and cricket in that way is not in a position where they can allow the athletes to be full time at this stage. So it's great to be able to play both. It is challenging at times, but I'm confident that I can still do both, and hopefully I can.
And have a job and play. Who are you playing for? Any other footy in the off season as well?
Yeah, I'm playing for Melbourne Uni in the VFL. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty decent schedule.
As I say every time we talk to a player, I've really got to get moving. I'm very lazy. Emma, we'd just like to say thank you very much for coming on, having a chat to us. Good luck against Melbourne, and good luck eventually in the grand final when you get there.
Cheers. Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, Emma.
See you, Emma. Bye.
I'm Katie Brennan from the Western Bulldogs. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
That one was for you, Kate.
Oh, I did get a bit excited.
Loves Katie. Well, the big question is, will she be back next week? Emma Carney didn't confirm or deny,
did she?
Which is very diplomatic. But we have a very special guest in the studio tonight. Her name is Cheryl Critchley. She is from the AFL Fans Association, but she's also a freelance journalist, a committee member for the AFL Fans Association, a member of the Richmond Football Club cheer squad. She's wearing a Richmond scarf. We thought we were free of the Tigers tonight, didn't we, Moddy? Because Bree is in Sydney.
I found out that way too late, Cheryl.
Yeah. she does like to bang on about that premiership thing. And you also write for the Footy Almanac. Do you get time to sleep?
Not much. Not at all. Thanks for having me. It's great to meet you guys too in person.
Pleasure.
Pleasure to have you. So important issues first. Are you still celebrating the Richmond Premiership or...?
Yep. Oh, I'm covered in bruises because I keep pinching myself. Oh. Every day we're like, I still can't believe we won it. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the AFL Fan Association. How did it start, and why did you decide to put it all together?
I was sort of roped in by Joffa. You know Joffa from Collingwood.
Oh, yeah. I just thought Richmond was bad enough.
I know.
Now we've got Joffa in the building.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there was a group of five of us. We also even roped my husband in because we needed five to form a national committee. and so it's always been a voluntary group, started with the five of us, and we've got a bit of a different committee now, but the aim has always been the same. We started at the end of 2013 to provide a voice for fans, grassroots fans, who over the years of any voice they did have has sort of been diminished with the corporatisation of footy, and we're all grassroots fans ourselves, and we just wanted to literally give fans a voice, and so they can have a say in all the different issues that affect them.
And what sort of issues have you looked at this up to this date?
Well, probably one of the biggest is ticketing, because when we started, they brought in the new price system that made it much more expensive to get reserve seats, and they also quarantined off about five or six games where you were forced to buy reserve seats. Mm-hmm. You couldn't just rock up general admission. So
do you mean for just for Richmond or?
No, it was about five games. Anzac Day is usually fully ticketed, but they actually quarantined about five other games, including Hawthorn, Geelong, Dreamtime at the G, and a few others where people were forced to book. And a lot of people had bought memberships, and on the say-so that, you can get in on your membership, but they literally couldn't. And we actually took that to the ACCC. And,
did you know?
Yeah, and they came out with a statement against the AFL, so there's a dartboard with my face on it.
All right, so you weren't invited to Christmas drinks at the AFL.
But it was wrong what they did, and we started a petition up, and in the end they ended up changing that system or slightly modifying it. So we have been able to make a difference in areas like that, and we also had a petition about getting club members more grand final seats, and last year they gave an extra 2,000 to each team. I just have this great feeling that it was actually my team that made it last year, so we had 2,000 more Richmond fans at that game than would have otherwise been there. Which is like the best feeling in the world.
Yeah. Are you going to pursue that line with grand final tickets and hope and pressure the AFL to open up more to the clubs?
Oh yeah, for sure. Because at the moment now, with that increase, each competing club gets 17,000. So that's 34,000 out of 100,000, which is still way too low. There's supporters of each team in the MCC and AFL members, but there's probably roughly, because we never get a full breakdown, 20,000 that go to corporates and other teams, and the other teams, as you'd know, sell them all off as corporate packages. And we reckon the AFL gets so much money in their TV rights, they could subsidise those tickets, give that corporate rate to the clubs and free those other tickets up for club members. So, there's ways they can do it.
You've got strategy behind what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
And what about the AFLW? Have you got a connection to what's happening there? Because I've got some things I'd like to discuss.
Yeah, well, we're definitely supporting it as much as we can. Like, we are a voluntary organisation without a lot of resources. So what we just try to do, like with everything else, is promote it, and we've put out media releases promoting it and pushing the positive side of it, because as you guys know, there's a lot of people, whenever you mentioned women's footy, oh, you know, the haters come out and say that, you know, oh, they're not very good. And we point things out like, you know, they were basically paying for nothing for 35 years, didn't have any of the physio or any of that sort of stuff that the guys had. So they're coming from like a much lower base.
Or stopped playing when they were 12 and have come back when they're 20.
So we try to put all that sort of stuff in perspective to educate fans, because a lot of the time it's just a matter of education, isn't it? So people can see the context behind it and how absolutely amazing it actually is that it's there as a competition, and we should all be supporting it.
Well, you're preaching to the choir in this room. But so let's say we had an issue with one of the things that annoys me is the way they've scheduled the game, some of the games. Like, there was a game played in the Northern Territory last week that was at 5:30. There was a big game between Carlton and Melbourne played on Sunday at 4:35 in the afternoon, and on Labor Day weekend. So for me, they could really get more crowds to these games if they actually scheduled it more appropriately. What would you do as an association if I came to you and said, help me fight the scheduling?
Well, what we do with this, the scheduling of the guys' competition is just try to highlight this sort of stuff. And in the age of social media, you know, getting stuff across on social media and in the mainstream media is often the way to go. So we've often pointed out scheduling issues with the men's games as well. So what we do is basically highlight it all, and people sometimes don't realise what's wrong with it, and a lot of it's just scheduled around the TV, isn't it? So
I was going to ask that question, Cheryl. Yeah. Is it the tail wagging the dog, you know, between Channel 7 and the AFL? Like, who's leading on that?
Yeah, and what's annoying is you see all these Thursday night games creeping in now, and that's a school night and a work night for people, and like with the games that you mentioned, they were just, the times are all over the place, but there is that issue of having games on a school night, and that's all around TV, because they think, you know, Thursday's a great TV night, but they don't think that, you know, these kids are either not going to go to school the next day or be tired and grumpy all day.
Or they're adults that'll be tired and grumpy.
I used to drag my kids along at night.
9:30 bedtime, hang on.
Not tonight. So, case in point is round one is Richmond versus Carlton on the Thursday night at 7:25. So, average is around 3 hours, isn't it, for a game?
Oh, yeah, we'd get home after 11 o'clock for that game, but I just used to take my kids. They never really know.
So they don't care. But I know what you mean. And also, in fact, I think they've hopefully stopped some of those Sunday twilight, or did they try Sunday evening games or something at one point?
But you know the problem with Sunday twilight, I remember doing a behind the scenes story on all that stuff with Foxtel, and the guy was saying, oh, we love these, you know, Sunday twilight games because they're great for ratings. And that's how they look at it.
That's what it's about, yeah.
Yeah, but for a family of, you know, 7 or 8 year old kids, even a game at that time on a Sunday, you'd be getting home, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and that's what time the kids' bedtime is. So it can be really disruptive for families, and it puts people off going. But some people don't care, because as long as they get the ratings on TV, that's all that matters.
Now, our Tiger has texted in, Cheryl, and she's got a message for you. And she said, woohoo, Cheryl, I met Cheryl at the Tiger's Almanac launch.
Oh, yeah, hey. That was so unreal.
Bree McCauley. She's a wonderful Tiger. Thanks for all your work with the AFL Fan Association. I've always wondered what a shared gate means. Do walk-up fans pay more for tickets if the gate is shared between clubs?
Not necessarily, because the way it works now is the home club sets the price for the game. This is how complicated it is. So every single game for the year can be a different price, apart from general admission. That stays the same. But the reserve seats can be whatever the home club wants to charge. And when the gate's shared, all that means is that, say, Richmond and Carlton get half the profits. So that doesn't necessarily dictate how much the tickets are going to cost.
Right.
Anzac Day is the best example of that because I'm pretty sure they share the gate for that. But last year Essendon set the prices and we record them all at the start of the year and they put them up and in the end they were up to like 80% dearer than the previous year. So that's an example of something that we would highlight and we put out a media release on that.
Wow, there you go.
Well, I barrack for Essendon and I just want to say now, transparency, I had nothing to do with the 80% rise in ticket prices.
That powerful.
But I'm going next week to the first game on Friday night versus the Crows, the Moshdale Cup, I'm calling it. And I am a member, but I spent an extra $40 to get a seat because clubs that...
You want to upgrade.
Well, I just didn't want to sit right in the back row or get there 5 hours early. So.
Yeah, well, I booked for Dreamtime at the G.
But that's too much money.
Yeah, I paid $70 for my ticket for that because I just said, oh, stuff, and I'm just buying a good seat. I don't want to miss out. And that's where they get you, don't they? Because
they do.
You're so passionate. Yep. You don't want to miss the game. I've already booked for nearly all of our away games this year because I don't want to miss any of the games that Eddie had. And then by doing that, I'm paying this massive premium.
Have you booked your flights as well?
No, we're going to Adelaide. We've got $35 flights.
Oh, wow.
You know, the tickets will cost more than the flight.
$35?
Yeah, general admission at Adelaide Oval is $35 compared to
$25. Wow. Yeah. But that's the thing, they manipulate our passion.
That's true.
Because they're very passionate in Adelaide. I was in Adelaide when there was a game on and the city was crowded and within half an hour it was empty.
Yeah,
so everyone can literally walk to the ground from the city.
It is fun.
So, yes, it is. And now I know one of the values that the Fans Association has is around inclusion for fans in the game too. And our friend Debbie Hall is working with the AFL Pride Collective to help that to be a reality. How do you see those kind of relationships working as well?
Well, we just want to include everyone and we're getting to all this stuff, you know, as we can, time and volunteers permitting. So she's going to go and meet with the AFL Pride Collective. And one of the things we hope to do together with them is we're planning a forum this year, if we can get it all together, an AFL fans forum. And Richmond looks like they're going to allow us to host it at in the social club at Punt Road, which is just fantastic. And Mary Crooks from the Victorian Women's Trust is helping us. And so what we would hope is when Debbie goes to meet with the collective that they might want to become involved and either help us organise it, come along, host tables, and so we can just have a whole massive bunch of fans there discussing all the issues of the day and report back to the AFL on what everybody's thinking.
Well, that's fantastic. So I think we would love to be there. I know one person that will definitely want to go down to there is Bree.
Bree.
We're hoping to have it. I think it's Collingwood and Carlton playing that day later on, I think at the MCG. There's a big game on anyway, so people could come to our forum and then go to the game afterwards as well. So,
or run screaming from the suburb.
Get Richmond, down the other end of the road.
Carlton and Collingwood.
That's nice. Yeah. Trouble.
So be fans of other teams there. It's not just Richmond.
Yes, well...
Not good for me. Now, I read also somewhere food pricing and something that you... was something you... had some influence over.
Yeah, well, we could possibly claim a bit of a victory there, but one of the things that often gets raised on our Facebook page and that we'd mentioned in releases is the price of food, and an Adelaide Oval is the dearest. Like, they're pretty bad over there. So we get all our little spies in all the different states to send us photos of the price boards. And whenever I go to a game, I sneak around with my phone taking photos of the prices.
I remember you reducing the price of hot dogs at Eddie Had.
Yeah,
is that correct?
What happened was, this is to Gillon McLaughlin's credit, it was fantastic. He, dealt with the MCC or whoever it was, and they actually reduced the prices of pies, chips, hot dogs, and a few other staple items. The hot dogs went down from $6.50 to $4.
Well. Next time you're eating a pie at the G,
think of Cheryl.
Yeah, but the problem is I now have to buy my kids stuff all the time because they're like, it's only $5.
Oh, it's
all
cheap, Mum.
Yeah. We're going to have a Cheryl shine at the shrine at the G.
So I wonder if that is now that the AFL AFL own Etihad Stadium, whether that's going to go across to there.
Yeah, well, what they did was they had a few deals mainly on a Sunday. So they had, like, you know, $3 pies on a Sunday and a few odd deals here and there. Not quite as good as the MCG, but they did do something, which was great. And we love it when they do that, and we praise the AFL when they do something like that, because it's great when they do.
What I want to know is when they're going to introduce vegetarian junk food. Because I can never eat
hot
anything.
Chips. Hot chips, that's it for
that's
you, isn't it?
That's it.
Where's my protein and my veggies?
They, they do have gourmet options now. You can get things like sushi, and there's a nice cafe near where we sit at the MCG and go and get baguettes.
Yeah, but everyone else is having fried chicken and I'm going to have sushi.
Well, don't be a vegetarian.
Simple.
We'll put in a word for that for
and
you.
Hey, the hot dogs aren't really made of meat. But thanks so much, Cheryl, and thanks so much for coming in and get in contact or join the Facebook page for number one. I know that's where you have a lot of interaction with fans, and go down to the forum in June if you're interested in being involved and you have something you want to voice about being a fan in the AFL. But thanks so much for your time. I'd like to say good luck to the Tigers, but I wouldn't mean it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Cheryl.
Go Tigers. We want people to hate us now.
Well, imagine being a Hawk supporter. Now, big round of AFLW coming up this week. It's the last home and away season round, if you the AFLW. And there's probably two really big games that are coming up. Kate, do you want to talk about Friday night?
Yeah, sure. So we've got GWS and Brisbane. Brisbane, it's sort of last chance sell-on. They've absolutely got to win, but they've also got to hope that a number of other results fall their way. So things are looking pretty dire for Brisbane. However, GWS, all of a sudden, Wooden Spooners last year, win this week should assure them a place in the grand final.
Should it? It would?
Pretty much, because winner of Bulldogs and Melbourne will go to 20 points, and then they're on 14 at the moment, so they'll jump to 18. And the only other team equal on points with them at the moment is Adelaide, and they've got a superior percentage to Adelaide.
Wow.
I've done my arithmetic.
You have. You actually explained that better than anyone on Twitter. I'm like, now I get it.
Yeah, sort of. Look, you know, if you take out all the absolute won't happen possibilities, it's a bit
boiled
more
it down for me to, okay. So GWS could be in the grand final. That's what we just found out.
Hang on. I seriously just left the room and, Kate, what are you doing about GWS?
Have you been paying any attention? They're half a game behind the two ladder leaders, and the ladder leaders are playing each other. So,
what's most likely? What's in your gut?
In my gut? Well, I'm a Bulldogs supporter, so...
apart from
there's
hot chips.
There's doggies down there, yeah. Hot chips.
No, what I was going to say was that I believe that we will always lose. So, you know, my gut feeling is maybe Melbourne GWS.
Okay.
Although, you know, look, Katie Brennan might be back, although I doubt it.
Well, and if Katie's back and Mel's out, Vicky's out for the Demons, that's a huge shift around, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a pretty big switch out there. So, but, yeah, Doggies just didn't look – they didn't have the fluency of
– just think about the Pride game and that 84 points 73. To 13.
Yeah. Whatever massive margin it was.
Go, Brooke, go.
It was seven goals. Unbelievable. We need a bit more of that, Brooke, please.
So just focus on that.
All right, all right.
So you're a self-protective supporter.
Yeah, it's a bit
like I'm going to believe that they're going to lose so that I'm not disappointed.
So I think you have to be protective when you're a Doggy supporter.
Blind optimism. It's like no, Hawks will always win.
Well, don't rub it in or anything.
You do, don't you? I'm somewhere near in between with my supporting. I'm not.
You're a realist.
Well, maybe. How boring.
Yeah.
I'd be an extremist.
I wouldn't have described you as boring, but.
Good, thank you. Because I don't go getting all depressed and, you know, I don't leave at half time like Rachel or anything like that.
Oh, I don't leave. Gosh.
Oh, no.
No, yeah, Rachel leaves.
Sorry, we've outed
She doesn't actually leave the ground, mind you. She just leaves where she's sitting and goes and watches on her own at a bar and
I thought you meant she left the ground.
We call her halftime heart attack Hopkins because she... Like, we can be up by 20 points at halftime and she still goes, I'm leaving.
Well, it's a bit like how Peter Gordon said he could never watch the Bulldogs matches. He always used to go in the car park for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, so it's not that she actually leaves.
A friend of my dad's does that. He used to go downstairs under the stand where you could, where there, in when the you old could days, do that. Where there were no TVs.
Yeah, yeah. And just
shout.
I couldn't do that. That'd be even more nerve-wracking. Yeah, and you'd hear all the cheering and
I love that. I love that tense close game. Now, on Saturday, Dockers-Carlton, is that an irrelevant game?
Yes.
In terms of the grand final?
Yes.
It's not irrelevant if you're Barrack for the Dockers or the Blues, but...
No, but it has no bearing.
It has no bearing on the grand final.
No, so that's out.
But the big game, I think, is the Saturday night game between Bulldogs and Melbourne.
Indeed.
That is huge.
Massive. And what do you reckon? It must be a capacity crowd that they're expecting at Witten Oval.
Surely, surely. Saturday night as well. It's a pretty friendly fixture, this one.
Yeah. You'd probably back the Bulldogs at home.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? The weather's going to be good. Well, it's going to be hot, but it's going to be good and clear weather.
You wonder about the impact that Mel Hickey's injury has as well. I mean, she'll still be around the club leading and coaching, but...
Hobbling.
Yeah, hobbling around. Jeez.
Sorry.
But, it was a real downer for the club.
Terrible.
It was awful, and especially that kind of injury. But anyway,
But they have got Elise O'Day, Paxman, and Daisy Pierce, who, you know, that is a trio that is very hard to beat. Probably that's the best three midfielders in the.
And Tegan Cunningham played such a good game on Saturday and up forward.
At the start of the season, Sunday. When we spoke to Kelly Underwood, do you recall that she said we asked her about? You know, who's going to be great this year or
rising
something.
Rising stars.
And all that. And she said, watch out for Tegan Cunningham.
Really?
I think she's going to kick a lot of goals.
She's got good game sense.
But, you'd hope so.
Sorry, Kelly.
You'd expect Daisy to jump up and play a killing game, but I wonder how it affects everyone, as you rightly said.
But the Doggies do have Carney, Blackburn. They've got a pretty amazing engine room as well.
Well, it's Chicks Talking Footy's own. Emma Carney.
That's right, sorry.
Your mate, friend Emma. Of our show.
Friend of the show. Oh, yeah. And if Katie Brennan comes back in, I think that will be a huge psychological lift for them as well.
Oh, yeah. Psychologically, for sure. It's actually interesting. It might even throw their forward line a bit out of whack structurally because they've done really well with the short forward line with Brooke Lachlan and Bonnie Toogood. But, you know, Katie's such a good player.
Well, she's smart enough. She'll run up. She'll go up the ground then.
Yeah, yeah.
And she'll do revolt and... come up to the wings and stuff.
She can play anywhere.
I love Bonnie Toogood. She's quite funny too.
Yeah, she goes on the Warm Down with our friend of the show, Tegan Higginbotham, on Facebook on Monday nights. Live.
Yeah, Tegan helped us co-host the AFLW Pride game.
Oh, I remember that.
Yes.
She's a winner.
What an honour.
She's a winner, apart from her Carlton supporting.
Yes, we don't talk about that.
Except for that Carlton supporting.
That other side to her.
And Sunday match at Olympic Park. This was the exact game that was played last year, because I remember being there when it was 45 degrees. Remember you brought your nieces and nephews down to Olympic Park?
Well.
And it was like 45. Like, it was just so excruciatingly hot.
It was quite clear I'm not a parent, wasn't it? Because, an actual parent would not bring a bunch of eight-year-olds.
To bring sunscreen, hats, water.
It was so,
it's actually
so
unsafe. They had to hide behind this little shed.
Jeez. I hate to break it to you, but it's actually going to be 35 degrees that day and very windy, so it's going to be highly unpleasant.
Now, I'd actually given birth about 3 weeks before as well, so I was standing in 45 degrees. I actually had to leave at three-quarter time. I couldn't handle it.
You were better than the eight-year-olds.
That's commitment.
That's my life goal.
I'm unfortunately going to be in Adelaide this whole weekend. I was thinking,
why didn't they
imagine if there was going to be a
It wasn't very well planned.
It wasn't well planned. So not only that, I'm going
to
miss
you should speak to the AFL Fans Association
all the night games.
Well, I am actually going to be at this game. It's on my birthday, and my partner said she wanted to go and see Erin Phillips play. So I said, all right, that's what we're doing for my birthday.
And you didn't take offence?
No, because I love her equally.
Kate gave up her birthday drinks to be with us tonight, Moddy.
Oh, did you really?
That is true, with my colleagues. That's how much I love.
Well, we've given you a bottle of water, a birthday bottle of water.
I know, thanks. Ripped off and told me that I was only here because you couldn't get anyone else.
I tried to talk to stop Fiona doing that.
Anyway, imagine if that is a live rubber at that stage, because if Adelaide could still be in with a chance at that point in time. So we have got the most exciting weekend possible.
And imagine what old Phillips, as I'm calling her now, imagine what she'll do if they're still alive.
Wow.
Moddy, I'd like to point out Erin Phillips is younger than you.
Everyone's younger than me. She's old as a player. She's 34 or 3 or something like that.
Yes.
Have we got time to quickly talk about the back on the AFLW grand final topic, but in a wider sense? How do we think that next year the AFL should change what the finals system is?
Absolutely.
Or do you think they will as well?
I think they have to with two extra teams.
Yeah, so that makes it, that'll be 10 teams.
Yeah.
They can't, it's just, it's too backyard to go, oh, you two, top two.
Yeah.
In you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's insulting as well. I mean, even this season, how easily could we have had a top four? I mean,
yeah,
and
exactly.
And you would back third or fourth to be equally likely to win the premiership. So
there's lots of variations or suggestions or algorithms being put to the group. I use algorithm just kind of in anywhere
in a
now.
Broad sense. Does, when it's got anything to do with numbers.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have to be right. But so I heard one that I kind of liked. It was about two, you know, they're talking about 2 weekends of finals. So there's a grand final weekend, obviously. But the weekend before, just second and third play.
Yeah.
And whoever's finished on top has already gone straight in to the grand final, so they get the week off.
Oh, yeah.
As a little, you know.
Little bonus.
Bonus. Or the other one, I guess, is
top four. Yeah. I guess I'm coming around to the top three idea only because ordinarily, you'd jump straight through to the prelim if you win first match, but then we don't have that. So, yeah.
That's we'll see what happens. One.
Watch this space. Now, in a moment, we've got our community notice board here on Chicks Talking Footy, so you can have your finger on the pulse of what's going on around the LGBTI AFL community.
Hi, I'm Peggy O'Neill, president of the Richmond Football Club, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy, Joy 94.9.
No more Tigers!
Why?
That was for Cheryl. For Cheryl and Breezer. we thought we were having a Tiger-free time.
Well, it makes a break from Hawke's Prize.
Do I mention the launch on April the 15th?
Look at it go. It's unreal.
High rotation.
Now, what is coming up in our community, Moddy?
Oh, well, hang on. Let me flick to community notice board. And it is the North Melbourne Football Clubs.
The Blue Roos, who are the LGBTI supporter group for North Melbourne.
Thanks for taking over, because that was not going well.
That was smooth.
We're a professional outfit.
Award-winning.
Kate, you would have been learning tonight.
What not to do, yes.
Learning.
Okay.
She's made it.
You started with a burn of me, so.
Yeah, true. But they are holding a kick-to-kick event that Moddy and I actually attended last year.
I was so surprised after that because we had a chat to Laura Kane, who's the footy operations manager there, and when we started chatting, I seriously thought she was going to ask me to come and train. I really thought that
that's
what
she'd
come
going.
For.
She did a quick beep test and off you went.
And she did not mention it. Nothing.
You haven't played a game for the Muggers yet.
Or ever.
Ever, yeah. Because North Melbourne are actually quite closely linked to the Melbourne, Muggers, the Melbourne Uni team.
I was really surprised. Anyway, I got over it. It was a fantastic night.
I was thinking we should talk to her again because now North Melbourne have an AFLW team.
Indeed.
Correct.
She would be someone quite interesting to talk about.
I've heard they're trying to poach old mate Emma Carney too.
From the Muggies.
Mm-hmm. And was Ellie Blackburn Muggers too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're hands off.
Rocky Cranston was on our show 2 weeks ago now, I think, and I asked her whether Geelong were talking to her and Lily Mithen because that had been bubbling around and she's like, oh, no, nothing. We'll wait till the end of the season and blah,
sure,
blah, blah.
Sure.
But that must, surely that's going to happen.
Well, and they're all on 12-month contracts only, so.
Can they give them extra cash incentive
to
be the captain to come across?
Well, I don't know if they can promise captaincy because it's probably got to be peer-led, but I do believe they're offering more money because next season we're probably going to have a salary cap and the clubs will spend it as they want, so they'll be able to stagger.
Interesting.
Very interesting times.
You know, Emma is ours, so she'll come on and tell us if that's the case.
she didn't tell us tonight.
No, we didn't ask.
We didn't ask, that's right.
I'm sure she would have told us all the intimate details of her contract situation.
But anyway, back to the kick-to-kick event.
Oh, sorry.
It is a community
Ruse.
Section.
Yes.
Community notice board. Some of the players from North Melbourne will be down there and they will be showing you how to kick a football. Which, Monty, maybe you need to do a few more of those classes before you get recruited.
It was
recruited.
Quite interesting, though, because I hadn't thought when they do the ball drop and then you have to put your arm out at a right angle as you do it in the timing. I have watched football for gazillions of years and I've never actually
thought about it. Yeah, I always thought I could kick a ball, but I always drop my head when I drop the ball under my foot, and apparently not meant to do that.
Next Tuesday, down at Arden Street, you'll be there with the Blue Ruse.
I'm long retired, mate.
Look at all the learning our listeners have done tonight. I've learned.
What have you learned, Fraser?
Well, you just talked to me about a kick that I didn't know about.
Oh, you were there.
A kick, a technique.
I was there too. Yeah. I was still going, how do they do that? But they do. They do handball drills and kicking, and that's a great chance to meet your players of your club.
Are they going to have some Moogahs along, or is this North Melbourne men's?
It was men's last year.
It was J-Mac and Sean Higgins was there.
Right, okay. So I don't know who's there this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're also doing a tour of the club.
Yeah, Fee goes hurriedly to her Google
machine. Yeah, that's right.
Let me find that out.
I've actually done a tour of that club when we had an AFL Pride Collective meeting there. The facilities at Arden Street are pretty impressive.
I have to say I've been there too, and it was actually because I was there for – I was delivering violence against women training, because that's what I did in a previous life. Oh, and they announced a gender equality strategy earlier this week, North Melbourne. So
they did.
Good on them.
Get on their website and have a listen to that video. It's very nice.
I'll give North a little clap.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, great to have you on Chicks Talking Footy. We'll be back next week, and who knows who will be here talking about football.
another ring in.
That's right. Thanks so much, Kate, for being a wonderful co-host tonight.
I'm so happy to be here.
And now we're going to hand it over to the gender agenda.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.